Hello, everyone. This is C. Ernest Tatum, and we're very happy to be together again today to chat with you for a few minutes concerning the most important of all subjects, that is, your future and mine, in the light of Bible revelation. Before we turn to a few passages from the New Testament, let's have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we come to Thee in Jesus' precious name to thank Thee for the sacred Scriptures. We thank Thee that they come to us with the authority of Thine own pronouncements. We pray Thee that Thou wilt give us listening hearts and believing souls for the glory of Christ. Amen. Very good. Now today I want to talk to you for a few minutes on the very important subject of confession. You know, I believe in going to confession. I really do. The Bible has a great deal to say about confession. I'm not talking of it in the ecclesiastical sense, but in the biblical sense. And in order to support what I said a moment ago, I want to read a few texts in the Holy Scriptures. Let's begin our subject of confession by reading a verse from Psalm 32 and verse 5. Here is King David. And in Psalm 32 and 5 he says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, another text that has to do with confession. Listen to this, 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's one from Proverbs 28 and verse 13. I'm reading. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall find mercy. And then, to add to it, here's one from Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and, here's our word now, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then back in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 32, we have our Lord Jesus Christ saying, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. And finally, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10 and 11 reads like this. Philippians 2, 9. Wherefore God hath also hath highly exalted Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, beloved, modern advertising is really a means of confessing the virtues of various products. Practically every article in the supermarket confesses its contents and its manufacturer. Take, for example, a few well-known items that are on the shelf of every supermarket. Heinz Pickles, Coca-Cola, Quaker Oats, Campbell's Soup, Bayer's Aspirin, and we might go on down through the line. When you, mother or wife, take your shopping basket or cart and go through the supermarket, you pick out this or that or the other item, and you put them in your basket. You're shopping. You're grocery shopping. Now, when you pick up a can of peas, if someone were to ask you, "Madam, what are you putting in your basket?" you'd say, "A can of peas." And if someone stupidly said, "Well, how do you know there are peas in that can?" you would probably show him the label. You don't open the can to verify it. You believe the label. And the label or labels are the means of confessing the contents. Exactly. The soldier confesses his status by his uniform. Certain lodges confess their devotees, their members, by, well, buttons, rings, shirts, and so on. Now, the same is true in the spiritual. You know, the devil's crowd confess their master by their words and their ways. The child of God should be just as bold and resolute in confessing his master before an unbelieving world. Just as the wearing of an engagement ring or a wedding ring confesses that the person is either engaged or married. Just as pickets and placards and so on that are being paraded today identify the person and the cause that he's trying to promote. So in spiritual things, God expects you and me to confess. Now the word confess in the Greek language simply means to say the same thing. That's exactly what the word means, to say the same thing as God says about certain things or certain persons. And so, sin is to be confessed Godward, and the Savior is to be confessed manward. Now that sounds very simple, and that is what I have before me in these few minutes. The Word of God urges, necessitates, requires that if I'm going to be a Christian, I must, number one, confess my sin Godward. Number two, confess my Savior manward. Now let's just take these slowly. I must be honest with God if I'm going to become a Christian. You know, we cannot fool Him. We can kid and fool our neighbors, our friends, and even our family at times, but the heart-knowing God is one whom we cannot fool, and He demands honesty. We must acknowledge the true condition of our sinful and depraved hearts and natures before Him. This is repentance. I must confess then to Him. It was only when David came to the end of himself and he realized that his sin was primarily directed against God that he received forgiveness. He cried out in this psalm, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord." And the glorious answer, "Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Did you hear the scripture I read in Proverbs 28:13? "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy." You see, all sin, beloved, is primarily against God. It's frequently against others. And it's ultimately against ourselves. Let me repeat that. All sin is primarily, did you get that word? Primarily against God. And it's frequently against others, not always, but frequently, and it's ultimately against oneself. You see, David realized that when after his dark, tragic, dastardly sin against Bathsheba and against her husband Uriah, he got into the presence of God and sobbed and said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned." Yeah, had I been there, I might have pulled at his at his sleeve and said, but wait a minute, David, is this correct? After all, you see, David had sinned against his own body. David had sinned against his own family. David had sinned against his own nation. He had sinned against Uriah. He had sinned against Bathsheba. But when he got into the presence of God, all of these secondary issues disappeared, and he sobbed out and said, and I'm reading Psalm 51, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. He didn't mean that he hadn't sinned against his family and his body and his army and all the rest of it, but primarily, superseding everything else, he had sinned against the living God. You see, sin is an offense against the Most High. It's a declaration of war against the Most High, and it must be confessed. Are we honest enough today to say, I have sinned? That's what John says. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, acknowledge that what God says about us is true, that we're sinners by nature and by practice, that we're unworthy of his salvation, that we're lost and helpless and undone, and come and make a complete declaration of spiritual bankruptcy. You know, it says in Job 33, if any man say, I have sinned and perverted that which is right, God will deliver him from going down to the pit. It was when the prodigal came back to the father and said, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, that the father smothered him with the kisses of forgiveness. So, first of all, I must confess my sin Godward. But then there's the other side of it. I must also confess my Savior manward. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is glorious. We confess our sin, I repeat, Godward, we confess the Savior whom we trust and who died for those sins, we confess him manward. So, we thus verify the text that says, Romans 10:11, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. So we declare our faith resolutely and joyously before men. I have found in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, a Savior who died for me on the cross, who took care of the penalty of all my sin, who took my smart and my judgment, and who is now alive, having risen from the dead on the third day and enthroned at the right hand of God. I confess that he is my Savior, my only hope. I remember the first time I was in Westminster Abbey in London, England, looking at the plaque that marked the burial place of David Livingstone, that great and glorious missionary to Africa of a century ago. You know, the guide said to us, he said, funny thing, the last time I was here showing some tourists this particular grave here in Westminster Abbey, he said there was a black man, and he seemed to be oblivious of everybody around him, and he said there was a bouquet of flowers on this plaque that lies on the floor of Westminster Abbey, and he said he was bowing on that grave until his head touched. He said he didn't seem to pay any attention to the people around him. And he said, you know, I think he was from Africa, and he was thus showing his appreciation of that great explorer missionary, David Livingstone. You know, my friends, that man was confessing David Livingstone at that particular time. You and I have found in Jesus Christ not a dead deliverer, but a living deliverer. Let us therefore boldly confess our faith in him and be not ashamed of his worth and his glory. Do it today, for his name's sake.